Hello and welcome to On Mission, a podcast from the Catholic Apostolate Center. My name is Chris Pierno, and I'm joined on the podcast today by Father Frank Donio, and we'll be discussing Palm Sunday with our special guest, Joe Basala, a Catholic school teacher from Cleveland, Ohio.
Welcome, Joe.
Thank you, Father. Thanks, Chris. It's a pleasure to be here on Mission with you today as we discuss Palm Sunday.
Yes, we have all kinds of different episodes around aspects of Lent and the Triduum and so forth. But when we were looking through, we realized we didn't have one for Palm Sunday, which is certainly one of the big days. You know, it's one of the 2 days the church is giving out something. Well, actually three if they still give out calendars. I don't know if they still do that.
But is there a special day for calendars?
Well, you know, it's right before, right around the beginning of the year, they would give out the calendars from the funeral home. I don't know. But you know, Ash Wednesday and Palm Sunday, big days, usually pretty full And yet I don't, you know, people have various memories of Palm Sunday, maybe growing up or even in more recent times. And I don't think a number of people really look fully. They kind of know the passion is there. They know this thing with the palms. There might be a procession, but why it's all the way that it is. There's this gospel reading that's at the beginning. It's just a whole different way to begin a Sunday Mass.
Yeah, it's like church on parade. It's like every yeah. All the elements are part of this, and including giving something away. Everyone has something to fiddle with, and I feel like we've touched on this a number of times, probably on various different episodes of this podcast. But, you know, we joke about how the church is full and all these people, right? I mean, it's certainly a moment, an entry point for lots of folks, too. But I wonder if we should talk a little bit about, you know, Palm Sunday. And I don't know if we, you know, how does it relate, you know, to Lent and all of this?
Mm-hmm. For sure. So Palm Sunday is actually the final Sunday of Lent. It's the beginning of Holy Week. So that last week where we commemorate the events leading up to Jesus's death and ultimately to his resurrection on Easter Sunday. And Palm Sunday specifically commemorates the entry of Jesus into the city of Jerusalem to kind of begin the events of Holy Week, that his entire earthly ministry and the mission that he is sent from the Father to complete begins, you know, and ends with that entry into Jerusalem. And so Palm Sunday falls within Lent, in the context of Lent, almost as this bridge between our penitential actions of Lent, which we began on Ash Wednesday, and that we perform throughout the 40 days of Lent. But Palm Sunday gives us the opportunity to kind of think deeper on those penitential actions and how are they going to move forward with us through Holy Week, ultimately to the celebration of our Lord's resurrection on Easter Sunday. And so actually at one point in the history of the church, we had a mini liturgical season called the Passiontide, which was the end of the Lenten season, which kind of encouraged the Christian faithful to focus on the Passion of Christ in preparation for Holy Week. And with all the liturgical reforms that occurred, surrounding the Second Vatican Council, you know, in the years after the Second Vatican Council, Palm Sunday was kind of made to be that point of remembering the Passion while also commemorating Christ's entry into Jerusalem. So there's a historical development that brings us to our present celebration of Palm Sunday which kind of has this twofold celebration now. And actually, it kind of has a name that reflects it officially in the Missal. It's Palm Sunday of the Lord's Passion, right? It reminds us that there's this historic event, right? Jesus entering into Jerusalem, but that we're also now going to begin turning our gaze, turning our minds and our hearts to thinking of our Lord's Passion.
You know, Palm Sunday, we talked about getting palms. What are the palms supposed to represent? Or, you know, what is it that we're supposed to get out of the fact that everyone's got this palm? And there's, as Father mentioned, you know, there's this kind of the gospel reading at the beginning of Mass and this procession in, and they're waving the palms, and, you know, and what is all that supposed to represent?
So the palms are symbols of victory that would have been used at the time of Christ, actually predating Christ. You know, I'm sure a lot of us have seen movies, you know, about the Roman Empire or other ancient empires where kings and emperors are entering into cities and there's big grand parades that welcome them into the city, and people will throw flowers and branches as an act of greeting the king as he comes back to his capital, maybe after military victory or victory over any of the enemies of the kingdom. Right. And what Christ is doing is he's entering into the royal city, the city of the King of Israel, right? The one where David himself danced before the ark, you know, as the ark came into Jerusalem. But now we see Christ himself, right? God made man coming into Jerusalem. And so the people who assemble on that day are recognizing Christ as both Messiah and King as he enters into Jerusalem. And so it would have been custom at the time to wave palm branches as a symbol of victory and triumph for kings as they entered cities. And so when we read in the gospel that this is happening to the audience, the original audience of the gospels, this would have been an immediate signal that this person coming into the city is royalty, is more than just a common man. And the fact that their immediate reaction as Christ comes on a donkey into Jerusalem is to lay their garments down on the road and to get palm branches and wave them is a symbol that this is a one who has triumphed. And of course, we know that triumph comes to fruition on Easter Sunday when he triumphs over sin and death itself.
There's this strange moment in the Gospels that are read at that time before the solemn procession in, you know, with the palms, and or however that might be done in particular. But there, within that particular aspect, there's this gospel reading where the disciples are sent, and they're to tell this person that the master needs this. And that's how they get the donkey, and it happens, but there seems to be a very important significance to this donkey that he's riding in on, that the scriptural significance to it.
Mm-hmm. And there definitely is, and that's why the evangelist probably spent a little bit of time giving some exposition behind why. It's specifically a donkey that's being ridden. And it goes back to the Old Testament, to the prophet Zechariah, who in the ninth chapter of his prophecy reminds us that the Messiah, the one who's going to save Israel, is going to be one of humility, who's going to ride on a donkey. Because when a king would enter a city following military victory, or any other type of victory, you know, if he's coming in to claim the throne after a point of contention, he would come in on his war horse, right? An animal of strength and of power and of might. But the prophets from the Old Testament are clear that the Messiah is not going to be this man of might and of war when he comes into his city. He's going to be one of humility. And so he rides a common beast of burden into the city. He rides a donkey, right? And so again, when the people see this, they say, this is what we've longed for, right? This is what the prophets have talked about, right? He's coming in not on his war horse to take the city by force, to gloat about his victory, but to remind everyone that the Savior that comes to bring salvation to a people who need it, that they that Savior is one of humility.
And he really wasn't the Messiah that some of them who were waving those palm branches were looking for. Some of them wanted a Messiah that would overthrow the Roman occupiers.
Right.
And restore the kingdom to the Hebrew people, to Israel.
For sure. Many people wanted the Messiah to be the one who would drive Rome out and would end foreign occupation, which had been a point of contention from various foreign forces throughout the history of the Jewish people, and of, you know, the Romans kind of become a very strict force grasping Judea, their province of Judea that they took over from the Hebrew people. And so many people looked and said, look, the time is perfect for a Messiah to come and to liberate us, right? But again, when he rides in on that donkey, he kind of ends that idea that this is going to be a Messiah of war. He's actually a Messiah of peace and humility, that salvation's going to come, but not in the way that you think. There's a salvation that goes beyond the saving of this nation, right? There's a salvation of the soul. There's a salvation of all of us beyond just the saving of a nation from foreign occupation.
You know, I think it's so interesting. This is obviously not the first time any of us have talked about Palm Sunday, but yet, as I'm listening to you, Joe, kind of talk about it, you know, there's a lot of focus on the gospel, which is obviously we've got two of them, I suppose, but you know, the passion play, the participatory, one time a year, right, where we sort of participates. But I would, you know, what as we're talking about this, there's so much more. There's so much of a connection between what that we are experiencing at the beginning of Palm Sunday Mass and the connection to what we do at Mass every Sunday, this idea that we're praising Christ as he, you know, comes in into Jerusalem. We praise Christ in the form of the Eucharist. It's I think that sometimes to the person who goes through this process once a year, and they maybe miss some of that in the beginning. And I would encourage our listeners to, you know, maybe this year put some focus on paying attention at the very beginning and seeing how it all really connects the whole next, you know, the whole week leading up to Easter. And it's so providential the way that everything just is laid out for you, kind of right there, and not having to really kind of unpack it, you know. I think people miss that.
For sure. I would think, you know, most people don't necessarily always see that there's a connection between, as you said, Chris, our I guess what we call our regular celebration of the Eucharist on Sunday or on feast days, with, you know, a special day like Palm Sunday or the rites of the Triduum, because all of those liturgical rites are pointing to the same realities of our faith. And at times we see them highlighted differently or the focus changed based on the ritual actions. But, right, we're always proclaiming through our worship the same beliefs. And so if on Palm Sunday, as you said, right, our listeners, you know, maybe they pay attention to that procession at the beginning of Mass with the blessing of palms, and think about how does this relate really to my experience of worship every other Sunday of the year, where sadly I don't walk away with a giveaway like I do on Palm Sunday.
Maybe walk us through, Joe, some of the highlights of this. So we've put a pretty clear focus on the beginning portion of the Mass, which can happen in a variety of ways, and mm-hmm. and So there is that solemn procession. There's a simple procession. There's different choices that could be made related to the, you know, some people they'll go outside of the church, and then you have the blessing of the palm, and then everybody processes in.
Right.
Which really sometimes gets some people uptight because they have to, they may not get their usual pew on Palm Sunday if they go out.
So. All pews are open on Palm Sunday.
Let it go.
Fill it in.
That's right. Welcome and accompany people. But you know, what are some of those options? And then could you walk us through what happens in this particular Mass?
For sure. So Palm Sunday, as I've mentioned, it has its own set of liturgical rites that point to all the beliefs that this day is based around, including celebrating our Lord's entry into Jerusalem, as well as turning the hearts and minds of the faithful to the Lord's Passion in anticipation for celebrating the Triduum at the end of this week. And so, as you said, Father, these various forms of this procession at the beginning of Mass, there's the simple and the more solemn form, both incorporate the singing of antiphons coming from the Psalms of the Old Testament about entering into the city, the hymns that would have been sung as pilgrims entered into the city of Jerusalem on pilgrimage to the temple. So we have that correlation between us entering in to the celebration of Holy Week, just as in times past, the pilgrims of the Hebrew people came to the temple in Jerusalem on pilgrimage for the High Holy Days. And that procession itself is a huge symbol for us as we enter into Holy Week, because in Holy Week we walk with Christ through all the events of his suffering, his death, and then we also then get to experience the joy of his resurrection. And so just as on Holy Thursday we're invited to sit at the table with the Lord at the Mass of the Lord's Supper, and on Good Friday we're encouraged to stand at the foot of the cross, and on Holy Saturday we wait in joyful anticipation as we hear the story of salvation history, waiting for the joy of our Lord's resurrection. We enter into that experience on Palm Sunday as well with the liturgical rites. And so this idea of the assembly, all the people gathered at the church walking together in procession, is a symbol of that. And so some churches, as you said, will go outside on Palm Sunday and risk losing, you know, their prized pew in the church as part of this celebration. But, you know, some churches, the assembly will move outside, and it'll be outside the doors of the church, sometimes after a short, sometimes after a longer procession. At the doors of the church, the palms will be blessed by the celebrant. And then following the blessing of palms, there's a reading of the first gospel of Palm Sunday, which is always one of the accounts of Jesus' entry into Jerusalem. So the first gospel at the blessing of palms is always telling us about the events of Palm Sunday from the gospels. And then after the gospels, that idea of us walking with Christ is again brought to the forefront as the priest, or if a deacon's present, the deacon will give it. There's a dismissal from the reading of the gospel, which leads into the procession from the blessing of palms into the continuation of the Mass. And so the deacon or the priest will say, "Dear brothers and sisters, like the crowds who acclaimed Jesus in Jerusalem, let us go forth in peace." So we're taking on the role of the people in Jerusalem who, you know, cried Hosanna as Christ entered into the holy city. And then the Mass will continue as usual. When the priest reaches the altar, he'll do the opening prayer of Mass, and then we'll hear the readings. Except, as Chris alluded to, the gospel is quite different on Palm Sunday because we hear the passion narrative. And in most places, in most churches where Palm Sunday will be celebrated, the gospel is read in parts. So you'll have a narrator, you'll have another reader, it's usually the celebrant, who will take the part in the gospel of Christ. You will have the assembly have parts to respond to that are like the crowds who jeered and mocked Christ. And there's this symbolism in the liturgy. We begin by being the people who acclaim Jesus, and then by the time we reach the gospel, we, just like those people in Jerusalem, you know, thousands of years ago, we mock and we jeer at Christ, and we call for him to be crucified. So the liturgy gives us the opportunity to enter into this role of the crowd, and it gives us the opportunity to reflect on, am I always recognizing Christ when he enters? Or am I like the crowd in that gospel who mocks and jeers Christ because my eyes aren't open fully to what's in front of me? And then after the Passion Gospel, the Mass continues as usual, like any other Sunday celebration. But that reading of the Passion is extremely powerful to begin turning our gaze toward our Lord's Passion at the beginning of Holy Week.
You know, your description of, again, the, I guess this is just something that I have never thought much about, but the fact that it is, yeah, it's the same group of people, the same folks in the church that at the very beginning of Mass were so happy and pleased and waving their palms and making their crosses, and then during the, you know, the reading of the gospel with the same people, you know, saying we want Barabbas. It's such an excellent entry point for someone to really just get a nice encapsulation of the faith, and to really reflect upon just what you said, you know, which part of the crowd am I? And personally, I never enjoyed that part of Palm Sunday. I always, you know, I would be there with, I think I've said this in another episode, be there with my mother, you know, as a child, and, you know, she's there, you're like, crucify him, crucify him. And as a child, you're like, What is this? What am I doing? But when you step back and you look at it, and you're from the non-participatory portion, and you really, as you just so eloquently did, kind of bring us through the whole thing, you get a very different perspective on it. And I think that's just something people should kind of take away from this all.
For sure. And the whole journey of Holy Week is, as I stated, those rites invite us to really enter into those celebrations of our faith that are so central to our faith. We're not passive participants in the events of Holy Week. We're actively participating as if we were there in the upper room at the Last Supper, if we were there at the foot of the cross, on Holy Saturday, we're keeping vigil outside the Lord's tomb, recounting all the times throughout history where God has offered glimpses of salvation to his people, but those were just glimpses, and then we get the full glory of salvation in the resurrection. And again, Palm Sunday is in that same strain of thinking. The liturgy brings us in. And so throughout Holy Week, I encourage all of our listeners, think about that question. You know, are we really acclaiming Jesus when we see him? Or do we fall into being that crowd, right? Are we really entering into these liturgical rites of Holy Week on Palm Sunday and with the Sacred Triduum to say, I want to be there with Christ? Or do we sometimes need to work on some things in our own personal spiritual lives that prevent us from really entering into those experiences more fully.
I joked at the beginning about the giving out things, but just like with Ash Wednesday, there's this desire to start again. With Palm Sunday, and I'd be interested in hearing, Joe, some of your thoughts about it, but there's something that draws people to Palm Sunday. The combination of the triumph and the cross, and yet knowing that there's the resurrection, and even within that, of course, with the Eucharist, the here he is, he himself,
mm-hmm.
the Lord, truly present, and so. You know, you have this resurrection hope that's there. It's not really mentioned, but the Eucharist is just like, here you are. He's still with us now and with you now. And while we went through this together, here, once you get to the Eucharist and the reception of the Eucharist, it really, as you say, and it really encapsulates this. The Paschal mystery,
mm-hmm.
in a very significant way.
Mm-hmm. I definitely think that thinking of Ash Wednesday, you know, at the beginning of Lent, there's this draw to Ash Wednesday. I think because regardless of a person's experience with the church, maybe they struggle in their belief. Maybe they've fallen away from the church in some way. Maybe they're not, you know, fully active in the life of the church. Come Ash Wednesday, they can still recognize that they're imperfect. They can still recognize that there's a need for mercy, and there's a need to do penance, and there's a need to offer sacrifice in order to improve that relationship with God. And I think when we get to Palm Sunday, that's a similar sentiment that's felt. That at the end of Lent, I still need something. I still need to be a part of something. I still need a place to belong as someone who recognizes that I'm not perfect. I don't have this all figured out. And I think that those contrasting points of the liturgy, of the triumph at the beginning, and then we almost have this downfall into the passion of where did these people who were so good and holy and great at recognizing the Messiah in their midst go within the course of a few days, to now they're crying, we'd rather have a common thief than the one that we just greeted coming into the city. We'd rather have the man that we thought was the Messiah because of his entry. We want to see him die a criminal's death in the lowest form possible. I think that that offers us something. I think that that offers us the idea that there are really times where I've messed up. There are times where I've strayed off the path. There are times where I've been really gung-ho about my faith. I've been really into it. I've tried really hard. And there are times where I just don't think about it at all. And I think that because the Liturgy of Palm Sunday focuses on those two things, we all have those experiences in our lives where we recognize Christ and where we don't, right? Those times where we failed, those times where we've strayed away from what God has called us to be. But Palm Sunday, again, always ends with that hope, pointing toward the Passion, because the Passion isn't just a horror story about the execution of a criminal thousands of years ago. It's the story of salvation. It's the Paschal mystery, how everything that God has done throughout history comes to a climax on a hill outside Jerusalem in the death of an itinerant rabbi, because he's the Son of God and he's atoning for our sins in that action. And then all of that make sense because of the glory of the resurrection. And so I think working back from Easter Sunday and knowing of the Easter hope that we have and knowing of the great love that God had for us to take on flesh and to suffer and to die for our sins. And we see that in the liturgy of Palm Sunday. It's something that when someone looks at it, they can say, this is kind of like my life. This is kind of like my own experience. I have those good days and I have those bad days. But Christ still ascends the hill on Good Friday to die for me, even though I jeered at him along the way.
Well, Joe, thank you very, very much. It's been a great pleasure talking with you on this episode of On Mission about Palm Sunday. You can hear Joe on some of our other episodes of On Mission. Encourage you to go back and if you like what Joe had to say today, or maybe what Joe sounds like, check out some of our other episodes. And of course, if you want to dive deeper into Palm Sunday, Holy Week, Lent, Easter, the Catholic Apostolate Center, we have a resource page, resources and a resource page on all of that on our website, catholicapostolatecenter.org, as well as several other episodes of this podcast, which you can go back and find, and you can find on that resource page to dive deeper into these subjects. And this will wrap up another episode of On Mission from the Catholic Apostolate Center. We encourage you to like, review, and subscribe so that you don't miss an episode. You can find this and all of our center podcasts on Spotify, iTunes, wherever you get your podcasts, or on our special podcast website, CatholicApostolateCenterPodcast.com.